It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Jeff Hoffman against Gonzalez, pitch is right down the middle, called strike 3, and the game with a bitter taste is over. Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays by a final score of 5-3 and drop the series. They are now 41-44.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a Jones and Mego reunion, Mego?
Hello, I'm here. Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
I was saying this is like a divorce couple. We're just here to see our daughter graduate. We're just trying to get along for a couple days here. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. So you're in for the rest of the week, right?
Yeah, I'm in this time slot through Thursday, and then Friday we have a morning show takeover with Scheim and myself.
Wait, Friday the 4th of July? You're working on the 4th?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
dang.
Wait. It's going to be a show that Ken Laird regrets scheduling.
Wow, I didn't realize Ken was making you do that on Friday.
Look, I just took an entire week off, plus going to the Outer Banks, so I understand.
I heard you and Greg were just talking.
One for you, one for me, one for you. That's how it works in this business.
Nice. You and Greg were just talking Outer Banks.
Greg was trying to like come in and impress me, drop all his knowledge of different things in the Outer Banks. He was like, you know, the brew through, this beach. Then he tried to hate on Maryland crabs, and I was like, you may go now.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
All right, so you're in Friday on the morning show, 10 to 2 all week. It's Jones and Mego here today on WEEI. You can interact on the phone, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. You can also interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat there. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3 again this weekend. They have what really is a perfect weekend for the Red Sox. They on aggregate outscored Toronto over the 3 games, but 2 were horrible. They do nothing offensively in 2 of them. The middle game, they of course have an offensive outburst. They win 15-1, which feels like how this team has gone all year. All the scoring comes in bunches. The wins haven't been enough since the Rafi Devers trade. You look at the Red Sox, how can a team be under 500 at this point in time, 3 games under 500, with a +10 scoring differential? This weekend is it. That's exactly how you do it. You lose the series, you outscore the other team, and the Red Sox feel like they are circling the toilet. So are they dead, Mego? Is this team dead?
They're not, but they're certainly on life support. And you say it kind of demonstrates the team to this point this year. I kind of feel like it's been the last couple years this is this team. And the one part of this weekend that I think really holds true for her, who the team is an identity, as they issue issues with defense and issues with pitching. Where I know that the rotation is rounding out a little bit. You got Giolito coming into form, and he looks serviceable to good now. But Walker Buehler is a serious issue for this team. And it's starting to feel like Chris Sale-ish without the Chris Sale upside, where after the game, he's just talking about how embarrassed he is to be walking out to the mound, which for some reason is falling apart late in games, literally. But walking out and like putting that stuff out there. And it's like, yeah, I feel bad for watching you, but I also just don't want to watch this at all. So I say this Red Sox team is not dead, but they're close to it. And you got to start seriously looking at the trade deadline and saying they're really inching towards a selling team.
Yeah, so I think the number for me, they're actually right on it. They're three games out of a playoff spot. Now, there's a lot of teams around them. You know, they're battling with a lot of other teams. Cleveland's in front of them. Texas is in front of them. The stupid Angels, who they can't beat for some reason, are in front of them. And those teams are all out of the playoffs. Then you get
No.
Then you get the Mariners, Blue Jays, and Rays. So my cutoff for the Red Sox is at the trade deadline, at the All-Star break, rather, they can't be any further out than they are. Like, three games is about my comfort level, and even that's pushing it. They have three with Cincinnati, they go to Washington, they have three with Colorado, four with Tampa, then you're at the All-Star
break. But also, you hear about those teams, like, okay, the Nationals, Colorado, like, these are teams that they should not just win the series. I mean, if you want to show yourself as anything besides a team that should sell off a couple pieces at the trade deadline, like, they got to maul those teams.
Yeah.
Those teams, those are the teams that you see and you prove, those are the teams that actually suck. We're a team that's figuring it out. And so we'll see these teams, and I feel like if you collapse against one of those teams, one of those series, then it's enough to look at it and say, that's who you really are. Like, you guys are not a serious team.
Yeah, so this is about, again, the line for me, because you could talk yourself into, Anthony had a good weekend, you know, Myers at least been good defensively, Bregman is due back after the All-Star break-ish, I don't know if it's going to be the first game. But if you're three games out and, you know, you're treading water, I still think the Red Sox should be in, looking to add at the trade deadline, you know, hopefully at some point, calling up the guys they got in the Devers trade. I know Hicks hasn't been great in Worcester. Harrison was terrible in his first start. Harrison should be here in place of Walker Buehler. I don't care what he's doing in Worcester. I'm done with Walker Buehler. It's not the home runs. It's not the struggles. It is very Chris Sale-ish, as you put it, where he's just, you know, just really piling on and saying, oh, I don't want to be out here. I shouldn't. I got to get it figured out. I feel terrible. Like, all these things, the self-flagellation that Sale used to do. But at least Chris Sale, to my recollection, every time the bases were loaded, wouldn't walk somebody in or hit somebody or walk somebody else. It's like these are completely self-inflicted by Walker Buehler, who still, and it pisses me off, the pitch was way outside the strike. You see him walking off the mound again yesterday?
Yeah.
He did it again yesterday. The pitch wasn't in the strike zone. You're Walker Buehler. You stink. And you're expecting calls from the umpire, like walking off the mound, and then it snowballs on him because he thought he was out of the inning. He's pissed at the ump, and now he's walking guys in with the bases loaded. So I would get him off the team. I would get Harrison up here, but that would be my cutoff. If you're within three
Harrison,
games.
Harrison, Hicks, they both suck.
They haven't been good yet. They haven't done anything yet up here, but they haven't been good in Worcester. Stay within three games. You can add at the deadline and hopefully make a bit of a run. But yeah, I'm not feeling great about the direction. I don't know how you could.
You also hear Buehler after the game talking about his mechanics and like how his delivery is just too low and he's got to get it up. And well, that sounds weird. Don't isolate that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
Nick
knows. This is issues that go back to 2022. And I'm like, it's 2025. If you haven't figured it out at this point, I don't have confidence that the next start is the one. So no. I think he's obviously the most glaring piece that you have to make an adjustment on. But it does feel like, and I don't want to like go back to the core well, but it does feel like to me, there's just this underlying thing of mediocrity of the last at least 3 years of this team where this is where we are every year. And this was the year that it was supposed to be different, where you go in, they actually spend money in the offseason. They bring in Garrett Crochet, who is awesome. But other than that, it's like you just sit in mediocrity and we come up close to the trade deadline. We're a month away from the trade deadline and we say, are they a good team or are they a bad team? Are they a team who's figuring it out? Or are they a team who is worth investing in? Or do you just sell off a little bit here and there? And it's like they've just been fence sitting for the most part for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's not great. So I was about to ask you, and maybe you just answered it. I was about to ask you what the biggest issue is on the team. You unprompted brought up Cora's name. Do you think he's the biggest issue they have?
I think it's something with the overall philosophy of the team. And so if it's Cora, if it's the staff, if it goes back to how they're hiring, or, you know, not, I'm not talking about the AI stuff that came out that 2 weeks ago, whether you believe in that or not. I think you have to look at Cora and something with the philosophy with the coaching, because the defense has not been good for years at this point. And it's not like, oh, it's okay, you have somebody like Rafael Devers playing third base and he's just not good at that position. And then you get into all the stuff with that. But it's like these stupid gaffes that you saw, like with the Nate Eaton misplay. Like, it's just stuff that should be routine for major leaguers. And it's not just one guy on the field. It's multiple guys at different points. And of course, you have guys like Rafaela who are going to be elite. And I'm not talking about that. But there's something that does not translate. Leaving guys stranded on third base all the time. Like, there are corrections that they talk about and they just never make. So I think it's a philosophy thing.
Yeah, so I, look, I've been pretty pro Craig Breslow. I like most of the moves he made this year, including the Devers trade. I wanted Devers off the team. And so I definitely wanted more in return. I would always want more in return. But I understand ownership had a hand in that. So I've been pretty pro Craig Breslow. I've been pretty anti-Cora now for a while, for exactly what you said. These issues span multiple GMs. Maybe it is more organizational than anything else. But yeah, I think Cora's getting into a tenuous spot where the team's got to start playing better or he's going to be the one to go. And I wouldn't have thought this a couple of weeks ago, but I think the way Cora handled Devers in ownership's mind, because they are very, very pro Alex Cora, I think the way he handled Devers, which was hands off, I'm not going to get in the middle of it. I'm going to let Craig Breslow be the bad guy. John Henry has to get off his ass and fly to Kansas City. Like, I'm just not going to be the guy who does it. I think that put Cora in a tougher spot with ownership than maybe he's ever been, short of getting suspended from Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I never would have thought we would have been here. We talked about this late last week. I now think Breslow's safer than Cora in ownership's mind. I think the fan base feels differently about that. And you can let me know if I'm wrong, 617-779-7937. But I think the fan base may feel differently than ownership. I think ownership is more aligned with Breslow right now than they are with Cora. And I think these are a big couple of weeks for Cora going into the All-Star break. Because again, if the team doesn't turn it around, I know he just signed a new deal. I heard Wiggy say this today. Devers had just signed a new deal. They got his ass out of town. We all want Walker Buehler DFA'd, right?
Right.
I want him
just
off the
get
team.
Get him out. Just get him out.
Get him out of here. Bring
get
in Harrison.
Get him out of here.
Bring somebody else in.
I don't want to see his face anymore.
He makes $21 million. We're all like, get him off. They just gave him $21 million. Get him off the team. Cora's the same amount of money. It's $21 million. So eat that contract. Curtis made this point today. It's not held against you with the luxury tax. If the team doesn't turn it around and you're spinning your wheels, fire him. See if you can get something out of the team. And if not, let Breslow pick his manager and try to be more aligned, because they have, to use the Red Sox word, because they haven't been that for a long, long time, manager and GM.
Okay, backing up a little bit there, though. What do you think is the reason up to this point that Cora has seemed to be so Teflon in this organization? Because I was thinking, like a month ago, when they had that absolutely putrid stretch of starts from Giolito and then Walker Buehler, and I'm looking at Cora and Andrew Bailey, and everyone's talking about Andrew Bailey's got to go. And to me, I'm like, that's just another fall guy. Maybe you think that his approach with the off-speed stuff absolutely sucks, but in the grand scheme of the organization, I think that they could fix something around him, and he would be a fall guy. Why does Cora have, to this point, the leash that he's had? Where the team performs so badly, and it's almost like the front office slash ownership is willing to say, well, it's not the manager's fault. Like last year, it's not the manager's fault. Clearly, we didn't go out and actually pay these guys like a serious franchise.
I would imagine it's two things. One, you know this. We interviewed him in afternoons weekly during baseball season. Well, for 1 year.
Sick brag, bro.
The year he didn't back out of it. So we interviewed him for 1 year, and you know, he's pretty good at playing the game, right? I mean, he's pretty good at playing
the
media
charming.
Game. Charming, good word. And so I bet ownership just likes him, and I bet he's good at when he has to, and when John Henry or more likely Sam Kennedy or whomever need information about what's really going on with the team. I bet he's pretty transparent with them, or at least tells them what he wants to hear. So I bet he's charming with them. I bet he plays the game with them. because that's what he does. I also think he is pretty good in terms of the media side of things, the outward facing portion of
He's
it.
He's the only person who can talk like a normal human being in that.
And
franchise.
So I think they feel like they need that, and he is good at that. That's probably the thing Cora's best at. Forget his in-game management or knowing when to pull a pitcher or knowing how to play matchups with his relievers or pinch hitters, all that stuff. I think that's the thing Cora's best at. He is a human being, exactly, and I think they feel like they need that. So those would be reasons why I think he had been Teflon. They keep him employed. I think it has more to do with that than like X's and O's strategy or, his in-game management. I don't think any of those are elite and maybe not even very good.
So I think that that's kind of indicative of the issues with the Red Sox on a whole in this chapter of them, is that they seem so concerned with how things look to the outside and what they're presenting rather than what's happening on the field. And maybe that's like you're smiling. Maybe that's a very shallow take. But I think back to everything that they just went through with Rafi Devers. Why did they give Devers that extension in the first place? Because Xander Bogaerts had just left.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The building. They knew the fan base was super pissed off. It was a couple little time after Mookie Betts left. And so then they want to make the fan base happy and they pay Rafi Devers. And then when Rafi Devers starts being obstinate and saying the wrong thing in public, they go and flip him there. And I feel like because you have your manager and Alex Cora like saying the right thing publicly and seemingly in closed door meetings, being a mostly good, charming guy and playing the game and whatever, like that's what they care about. And I just think that that's, I don't know. I think it's a very shallow, half-hearted approach to what they're doing. And maybe Craig Breslow is the one that will actually get down to brass tacks, but he's going to do it with a calculator and a computer system where he's like running AI bots out to screen 1,000 applicants.
I mean, look, his computer and AI system gets him Alex Bregman and it gets him Garrett Crochet. I'm okay with the computer system, quite frankly. And I think Cora is on thinner and thinner ice. And so what do the Red Sox do there? Again, you can discuss on the phones and text line. If they fall out of it, Mego, and some may argue they're already out of it, dead on arrival, season's over, 3 games out, they're behind a bunch of teams, they're in the middle of the pack of what already is a bad American League. Would you look to sell if it goes the other way at the trade deadline? And if so, who are you moving on from? We've talked a lot about maybe Alex Bregman. If you're worried about him opting out, he would have value. Duran's name has come up a ton. Chapman. No one's taking Walker Buehler. I don't know who else I'm missing. Maybe Abreu. But is there an obvious name if they fall out of it and they look to sell that you would move on from?
Absolutely, Chapman. Absolutely, Chapman. I mean, he's been nails. He's been, I think, because of his position, like a little less regarded than obviously somebody like Garrett Crochet. Bregman, I'd rather see you try to rework that deal and like try to get something for him long term, especially after you did what you did with Devers. It would, if you're concerned with what the fan base thinks, like go out and give him a new deal for Bregman. But Chapman is the most obvious one. He's been awesome all year. He's 37 years old. He's on a 1-year deal. He should be a pretty easy trade piece if you look for somebody who is desperate as a actual contender in that role. So I feel like he's the easiest one to flip without actually trying to mortgage something long term as these young guys are coming up.
What about Durant? Where do you stand on him?
I'm not ready to move him. I don't think that he's going to be as great as he was at times last year, but I still think that, especially if you move him right now, you'd be selling a little low because of his production right now. And I don't know. I think that I have a certain fondness for him, and I think it is kind of like a tough position to put yourselves in, and the younger guys on the team, even if you move Devers and then you also go and move Durant, even though he's not, you know, producing the way that you'd hope so far this year compared to last year. I'm not ready to move Durant. And are you ready to move Durant? Are
no.
you like, he's the big trade? I know he would be a giant trade piece. I'm also not confident that at this point in time that they're just going to get back what he's anything close to what
well,
he's
worth.
Well,
so, right. I mean, tell me what you get, and then maybe I could be coaxed into it. You get a real starting pitcher to follow Crochet, and now your outfield is what? Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu, and they're in there every day? All right, I can maybe talk myself into that. But, no, I'm not looking to trade Durant. I like his play style. It's gotten him into trouble in the last week. He's not producing the way he should be. He's running into outs. He's been poor defensively. But I do think he's a better player than he's shown. I wouldn't want to sell low either. So, look, I'd trade pretty much anybody. I would need a lot for Durant, and I don't know that baseball would be giving you what you want. I think teams would be looking to buy low, and I don't want to do that.
What if you trade Durant, you get a starting pitcher back, and they take Walker Buehler forever?
Oh, done. Done deal.
In perpetuity. They have Walker Buehler, and you never have to see him again.
Walker Buehler, I'd feel better if they DFA him, because then I know that Henry's not trading him just to save money. They're just like, we're done with this guy. But yeah, if Buehler's on the deal, I could be coaxed into it for sure.
It's a sweetener.
617-779-7937. We're starting Red Sox here today. This team, another series loss this weekend. They're 3 games out. They're 3 games below 500. It is Crochet on the hill tonight, but that doesn't guarantee anything because the Red Sox need to actually, you know, score some runs when he's pitching. So what should the Red Sox do at the trade deadline? Should they be looking to add? Should they be looking to sell? And how safe is Alex Cora? We'll get into that. Plus, NHL free agency starts tomorrow. Some good Bruins rumors are out there. The NHL draft happened over the weekend. It seems like Don Sweeney actually did pretty well for himself, shockingly. And we'll get to the Celtics. Free agency starts tonight in the NBA. So where are the Celtics at with some of these moves? Could they still deal off Jaylen Brown? Lots to get to here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe today. Billy Lanny has all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we'll get into whether or not the Red Sox should become sellers next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb, reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.